Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being broadcast for September 7th, 2019. It goes so fast, doesn't it? I just can't believe it. Sometimes it just streams by this world, this life, more than I could ever tell you. We're going to talk about the self today. And what it means to have a self and whatever that is to us. And we'll get into that in a few minutes. I want to thank you for listening. I want you to understand once again that we are in our drive, our year-end drive, to raise donations to sustain our radio program. And in fact, all of the things that Aspire does, from my hospice work to BATMO work the counseling I do, the things that you don't see behind the scenes that makes all this possible. And it is without your donations, it just couldn't happen. You're there with me through everything I do, through everything I go through with hospice and counseling and hospital work and everything I do. You're there with me to help me sustain, a person's life. You know, it's hard to understand when you're healthy and happy in your life, or relatively happy, how difficult that situation is when you're with a family that is watching a loved one leave their body, the whole thing. And the comfort and the insight and the things that I can offer often help these people, and you're right there with me to make that all happen. And your donations ensure that, as well as keeping our radio program here on the air, as well as our TV efforts. Your tax-deductible gifts mean a great deal to a lot of people in this world, more than you would ever imagine. So I hope you will become a sponsor. I hope you will make a year-end donation, something like that. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. If you click on that, it will tell you all about why support Aspire, or you can just make a year-end donation. But it's your sponsorship that really, really helps, because that is the thing that keeps us on the air, and I hope that you will consider being one. Let's talk about the self. What is the self? According to the dictionary, a person's essential being that distinguishes them from others, especially considered as the object of introspection. How about that? A particular nature or personality, the qualities that make a person individual or unique. I don't find many people, I don't know about you, maybe I'm just being harsh here, but I don't find a lot of unique people. I think we're pretty much a cookie cut based on politics, religion, economics. I don't really think that when you look at a person, you're seeing something unique. What is unique? What would make you a unique person? Really, look at it within yourself. What would you share the fear? As long as I am in fear, I can't be unique. Fear is what unites us, not love, not compassion, but fear. The fear of, what might happen to us, what does happen to us, what other people tell us could happen to. We have all sorts of fears, and that comes from my DNA. So I don't find people unique. They may be unique in how they rationalize their evil, or rationalize their fear, or rationalize their hate. They may have that, but I don't really think a person or people in general are unique. But let's get into this a little bit. I get questions about self, about how to up the ante of feeling good about oneself, or feeling special about oneself, or feeling that they're unique, or being positive, or get over negativity. So we're going to look at some questions that I get. By all of this is just foreflushing, as I call it. Forgive me, it's just my term. First question comes from Jesse in Oxnard, California. Jesse, I used to live in Summerland, California, when I was going through high school, so I know Oxnard real well. He goes into a litany of things about the self, and then he asks, on your program, can we know ourselves really? Jesse. Jesse, I want to thank you for taking the time to write such a savvy kind of email, and it was a delight to read. It really was, and I want to thank you for taking the time. Know thyself, said Socrates. And this question came from Jesse from my series that I did, A Life Worth Living. And you can see that on the website at aspire.org. A Life Worth Living, it's about the teachings of Socrates that a life that is lived without examination is not worth living. And I don't think there'd be a lot of people in this world that would agree with that. I really don't. I don't think, Jesse, there are a lot of people who want to do self-observation. Why? Well, you know why. You kind of mentioned it in your email. We can't look at ourselves without creating self-abuse. And when we don't have knowledge of what the self is and what it does, where it comes from, what it distinguishes it from an animal, and that's, we are animals. The only difference is we have a kind of an outrageous sense of persona and ego that is a little different from animals, and we make choices, but basically out of instinct. We don't make choices from the heart. We have the ability, I should say, probably, to make those choices from the authentic heart, but most of us don't because we're too busy being afraid of what's going on in the world, and we have these instincts that we live by, and we abandon our authentic. Can we know ourselves? That's what you asked, Jesse. We can know about the self, but you have to understand this. There is no self. People like to believe there is. There is just the acquisition of DNA going into my instincts to survive and awakening and creating attributes that we call genetic disposition. That's it. I am a series of genetic dispositions. I am preposterous in them. I am only as good as my genetics will allow. And most of us only allow certain genetic traits to come out. And they are found and formed, in the whole background of my living. People are really obsessed with the idea of finding out what their heritage is. Who the hell cares? This is just another way to milk human beings because emotionally we want to find out if we're the queen or king of Siam or something. We want to find out where we came from. Who's we? You find out where the origins of your body may have started, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago. And what's that going to do for you? What are you going to learn there? What's that going to be all about? How's that going to make you, oh, shall we say, more aware, maybe more attentive to what the world really needs and what you really need? And how's that going to help you attain, ascend, transform? It's not going to at all. In fact, what it is a pride builder. And people want to think, oh, I came from this country and I came from that country and my ancestors were here and my ancestors were over there and blah, blah, blah. That makes me what? You're still just a pile of habits, impulses, states of different fear. How is all that going to help you? How are you going to awaken spiritually to what you truly are? Find your soul. Have a soul. Awaken to a soul. Most people, well, we don't have souls. Everybody thinks, oh, I've got a soul. You know, I mean, I'm a soul. No, you're not. No, you don't. If you have a soul, you are awakened. you would not be interested in what the self is doing. The self is a puppet, a stick figure. It belongs to my ideas and my ideals. It has nothing to do with the nature of any kind of reality that might be going on within me. So you can't know the self. You could know about yourself, about where you came from. You can know about what it will do, the self. It's a touchy subject with people because, you know, it can change at any moment. The minute you find yourself, what have you found? Tell me, sit with this, Jesse. What have you found if you find yourself? You have found a slew of tendencies, personalities, likes, dislikes, tendencies. You have all sorts of various tendencies. What have you found if you have found the self? You tell me. And what have we abandoned for the sake of finding this self? Our heart. Is the self the heart? It doesn't say here in the definition, but that doesn't make it definitive. Where is the nature of love within you? Where is the nature that transcends? Where is the nature that brought you into this body that set the course of your lifetime after lifetime after lifetime? What is it that pushes and moves and sustains you? We have more self-accusations about ourselves than we really do the awareness of the vehicle we're in. You live in an animal. I live in an animal. Is that the self? Well, that's what most people would say. They don't go any deeper than that. They would never go any deeper than that, because to go deeper into that and realize the absurdity of the ego, the pride, the vanity, the jealousy, to observe how I have lived my life in this animal and have created out of it a persona that sustains me socially and helps me, shall we say, survive, that's all there really is. Yes, you can know certain traits of the self, but Jesse, you don't know how far that self can go. You would never believe that it could actually kill. It could actually do many, many things that are self-destructive, and does many things that are self-destructive based on its appetite for survival. It's not a noble thing. And because most people do not realize the nobility of their heart and seek the soul, they only seek their place in this world as a means of survival, comfort, convenience. There you are, Jesse. I think your email was lovely. I think your offering today to this world was lovely, and I want to thank you for being so generous, and please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Carol. She lives in Los Angeles. What if what I am makes no sense to me? You talk about us being spiritual. I have no idea what that means, Carol. I know, Carol. Most people that listen to this broadcast have no clue as to what the spiritual is or what it means to attain to the spiritual. Absolutely no clue whatsoever. Nor do they want to. If they can't think it, if they can't reason with it, if they can't live in the logic of it, they just don't care. Everything in our life has to hover around, how will this make my life easier and better and more convenient? That's as far as we go in the West. We don't see our karma, we don't understand it. We just want good karma. We want the karma that makes everything quick, fast, and easy, that we would call good. And that's as far as we go. This is why our lives are in the hands of politicians. who are worse than the average person, in my opinion. They're, anybody who seeks power is not worth the office of power. I wouldn't put them in power ever. But we do, because that's what we do. We want someone to make this all better. You ask, what if I am, makes no sense to me? Then you're in a quandary. And chances are most people who would ask this question, it's a very good one, would not go out and seek what that true authentic self is and find the answer to this question. Who am I? What am I? Where am I? What is this am? What am I doing here on this planet? What is the importance of being here? What is significant? People do not ask these questions, do not arise in human beings, generally speaking. Oh, we might, you know, have a passing fancy with it. Very little introspection, but the introspection that we have is based on the mental acuity of our logic and reasoning. So that doesn't give us much. You can be a very smart person and still not know what the self is, not understand the self, not be able to live in the self. You can't do it, because your mental acuity is not what you need to discover what's going on. You need awareness. You need the ability to detach from the self, what you and I would call ourselves, and simply watch and observe. This takes practice. This takes a great interest. You would have to devote much of your time and energy to separating from the causation of your difficulties in this world, and to separate from that and to come to a place where you can appreciate that separation and what it offers to you. And believe me, it offers us a lot. I cannot even begin to tell you the beauty of all of that. In making that effort, you drop the logic that would be in confrontation with yourself, making us, you know, difficult people to live with, difficult people, period, where we are not in harmony with life. We're against life. We're against whatever we don't want life to present. And life isn't presenting anything to us. It is a mirror. Please understand this. My life, your life is a mirror of what goes on within us. It is showing us the animal at times. At other times, it's showing us great potential, great love, great kindness. It can all be there. It just depends on my karma and what I've done with my existence so far in my many, many lifetimes. What have you done with your many lives? Now, if that doesn't make sense to you, how are you going to go further, deeper into yourself and find the authentic? You won't. And you won't pursue it either, because it doesn't make sense. It's another way of being lazy. Carol, you have to hunger and thirst, as Jesus said, for righteousness. That means you must want it with all of your being. You must be total in it. And if you can reach that totality, if you can reach that life, if you burns in you and nothing is more important, remember when your sex drive was that strong, or your drive to be successful, which is in men nothing more than testosterone, same thing. When you're trying to prove something to yourself or prove that you're not this and you are that. Remember when that drive was the thing that got you through every single moment of your day and you're never going to give up. Remember that, those attitudes? I want this so badly. That kind of stuff. Well, you have to have that for the sake of love itself, the authentic. But it can't be, you know, something that drives me that is deeply, shall we say, crude or demanding in the sense of fulfilling myself through my instincts. Spiritual work, real deep inner spiritual work, is not instinctual. It's spiritual. You have to be beyond the instincts. You've got to get beyond the animal. You can't incorporate the animal with your practice, with your heart, with your life. You are not an animal. You live in one, but you're not one. And until that separation, that understanding, that way of looking at it becomes clear to you, you will not seek the way. The end of that question. Thank you, Carol, for your question. I hope it helped you. I'm sure that I insulted the hell out of you, but it wasn't personal, believe me. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question from Rex. He does not tell me where he lives. You are you. I am me, he writes. What is there to know past this, Rex? What are the origins of the you that you call you? How do you know this you? How do you know you haven't made it all up? How do you know it's not a story? The ego manufactures all the evidence that is necessary to help it believe and manufacture ideals, ideas, and ways of life. That's what it does. It manufactures all of this stuff. So when you're looking at yourself, when you're looking at you, what is this you? Does it belong to your mother, your father, your ancestry? What does it belong to? Who is this you? And how do you know you see me? How do you know that me isn't you, or me isn't something you've conjured up in your mind based on preferences and biases and all sorts of craziness? How do you know? How do you know anything in this world? Well, the only quote-unquote sanity most people have is their ego. And everything is in proportion to that ego, Rex. What is there more to know? How you came to this lovely conclusion that you do know. How did you get there? How did this happen for you? How do you know this is what is? There is something very important about knowing the isness of your life, the state of your life, the origins of your life, and to haphazardly go through life arrogantly thinking that I know. That I know anything about this self that has been concocted by my genetic nature, which is subservient to my DNA and the fears of my DNA and the impulses of my DNA, to think I know anything about the self like that is preposterous. But this is what people do. This is what generation after generation of people do. And they don't mature. They don't grow. They don't get it at all. They just live in the confines of a hate and a fear and anger, in an ignorance that is imposed upon themselves, by themselves, as themselves. They just keep it all going and going until it gets to nauseam. And then we come to conclusions about who we are, and that's the way it is. And a lot of times who we think we are is based on how we think people treat us, what they say about us, what they believe about us, which isn't true at all either, because it's only an interpretation. I know nothing. This is one of my very big things. I know nothing. And if I know no thing, then something of everything descends upon me. And this has been my direct experience, something I have lived for and lived with for a while now. And I can tell you it is a magnificent beauty that lives in us. And should you ever be really interested, Rex, in answering your own question, finding the answer to your own question, I think you'd be a very happy camper. I gotta go, Rex. Thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. We're going to do something kind of special tomorrow. It's called Why, 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 Why. hope you listen. Have a wonderful weekend, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.